Hare Krishna. There are a few questions here today from Vishakha Devi Dasi and her mother, Dakshina. Okay, so Vishakha is asking, she says that in Ajamil Kanda, it says, one who chants the holy name of the Lord immediately freed from reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly. So she says, why is not then that people who are in Harinam, who join us on Harinam by chanting, why don't they move into the temple, join the temple? Here the answer is that chanting frees one from the reactions of sin. Being freed from the reactions of sin means that, say for instance, someone has stolen, he becomes free from the punishment of stealing. But the tendency for stealing will still remain, and therefore he will continue to steal. In other words, the habit is there. Similarly, although one may be freed from sinful reaction, one doesn't necessarily immediately become freed from the tendency to sin itself. Similarly, there is another aspect, and becoming freed from sinful reaction doesn't necessarily just mean immediately, but according to the nature of these sins, there may be different length of time in which one becomes actually freed from that. But even say that one is both freed from sinful reaction and freed from anarthas, that still doesn't qualify them to move into the temple, because they don't necessarily have faith. They have to have faith in the process of chanting. The example there is given in Chaitanya Bhagavat of this brahmachari who was Naishtiki brahmachari, lifelong brahmachari. He was sinless. He just ate fruit, and Srivas Thakur brought him in to hit him to observe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sankirtan. But when Lord Chaitanya understood that there was someone there, there was an intruder there, then he told him to leave. And he complained. He says, people can't become, join my sankirtan movement just by eating fruit. And it was only because the brahmachari had begun to see some of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing and singing. He gained faith in sankirtan from that. And then Lord Chaitanya allowed him to participate and then made him one of his associates. So being freed of sin, and even being pure-hearted, doesn't necessarily mean that one is qualified. One requires faith. If one doesn't have that faith, then one cannot progress further. Adho Shraddha. Her other question then is, in the same chapter it says, one cannot glorify the Lord unless one is completely free from sinful activities. Please explain this, because I'm not free from sin, but I want to glorify Krishna. Yes, it means that one cannot completely and properly glorify Krishna unless one's freed from sin. So if one is a sinner, he may be chanting Hare Krishna, but still his chanting or his glorification of the Lord, whatever form it may take, will be offensive. If someone is not a sinner, but still has habits, bad habits, then that will still just be a abas or a shadow of real glorification. But however, if someone becomes pure at heart, then that sinning, that chanting, that glorification, speaking about Krishna, preaching, that then becomes the real thing. Then it's full-fledged and it becomes very, very powerful. So the holy name is not letters, it's something which manifests as a result of one's consciousness, even one can say out of one's consciousness, and in proportion to how a person is pure, to that degree the glorification of the Lord takes place. And her last question is that Vedic principles prescribe a gradual process for rising to the spiritual platform, but if one remains attached to Vedic principles, there's no chance of his being elevated to spiritual life. So she says, why is it wrong to be attached to Vedic principles? So we should recall that Vedic way of life is a process of gradual elevation. And gradual elevation means that according to one different stage, Sve-Sve Karmani Abhirata, no, Sve-Sve Adhikaraye Nishtam, that according to one's level of spiritual advancement, there are certain rules that one adheres to. But as one goes beyond that level of advancement, then some of the rules may fall away and need to be abandoned, and one has to adopt some others. For example, if someone doesn't have faith in Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, then he's recommended in Vedic literature to worship the demigods. However, once you do have faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you're expected to give up the worship of the demigods. So a Vedic principle that applies for one condition or one type of person is no longer relevant for yet another condition or for another type of person. One can see the same thing happening in even when one comes to devotional service, even when one becomes a devotee. What is that? Well, you're meant to follow Grihastha Dharma. And for a certain stage of life, Grihastha Dharma is prescribed. And if you're a good Grihastha, then that becomes the right thing to do. But if you stay in that same Grihastha mentality, just being happy with your home and your family and everything else, even as you enter into your 50s and 60s, then what was previously the strict following of Grihastha Dharma now becomes Adharma. It's against the religious principle, because now time has changed, you're Vanaprastha, now you should practice Vanaprastha Dharma, or even possibly later on Sannyas Dharma. So in that way, one should know, according to time, place, circumstance, what is the suitable dharma, suitable obligation for a person, because they may vary. Okay, and oh yes, I didn't notice this other question she had. Is it wrong to kill a mosquito even though they're trying to hurt us? No, Prabhupada cited the example that if one is being attacked, an aggressor who attacks with a weapon, then we should protect ourselves. And that applied to mosquitoes. So you can protect yourself from mosquitoes. That's fine. And then Dakshina refers to Sadhavo Ridayamayam book and wants to know what does it mean when it's said there that Krishna derives pleasure, or he derives bliss from his swarup, his own nature, and from his own internal potency or shakti. Just that very same thing. If you consider that Krishna is like the sun, and Krishna's ladini potency is like the sunshine, then Krishna derives pleasure both from her and also from his own nature. There's these two types of bliss. This is explained by Jiva Goswami. Usually we see or we talk about Krishna deriving pleasure from Srimati Radharani, but Srimati Radharani is one source of Krishna's bliss. Another source is his own nature, albeit he derives greater bliss from her than he does from himself, but both of those are there. So these are today's podcasts, and we'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.